And I thought, it was on my heart, I mentioned to someone here today, and they were said that they were thinking of asking me to give me testimony. And so I feel tonight that I give a word of testimony of how I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he saved me, and how he kept me. And of course, not to glorify sin, not to glorify man, but just to show you tonight about one who was a great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust tonight that you will find in the message and in our testimony and in our words, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's real and he's a great Savior. And if you're unconverted tonight, it certainly be my prayer that you will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So I'm going to have a word of prayer and ask for God's help. Father in heaven, we thank you we can gather together tonight, Lord, around thy word, and to be able to give a word of testimony. Lord, think of that great hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And Lord, I pray tonight that thou be with me around thy word, and certainly as we tell the story of my life, Lord, how you came into my life and how you changed me. And Lord, I've never been the same again. I pray you'll speak to hearts in this place, and the unconverted, that they will see their need of a Lord Jesus. And Lord, you'll open up their eyes and open up their heart to receive him. And receiving him, they will have life everlasting. Close it in with thyself, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we read a couple of verses here together tonight in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 15. The speaker is, of course, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking to these people who were publicans, tax collectors, and sinners. And you can see these people gathered around the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you looked at this group of people who were gathered around him, he had a message for them. It was a very plain message and a very simple message. He wanted to teach them a simple gospel truth. And here's what it was. That in the sight of God, they were lost. They were lost. And that's why he told the parable. He told the parable about the woman that she lost her coin. He told the parable here about the man who had 100 sheep and he lost one. You can think of this particular shepherd. He's looking at his flock. At the end of a hard day's work, and he looks at his flock, he starts to count them, 97, 98, 99. Perhaps he says, well, I've made a mistake. I need to count them again. And he counts them again, 97, 98, 99. And it comes to his heart that one of his sheep is lost. He has lost one of his sheep. Now, of course, it was his sheep's fault. It was disobedient. It left the shepherd. It had wandered away out into the wilderness or into the hills. It was now in a place that it was far away from the shepherd and was in great danger. Danger of being attacked. Danger of losing his life. But the Lord Jesus tells this parable to teach that sinners are lost. There's a great verse in the Bible. I want you to think of this tonight. Everyone in the meeting, young and old, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's the truth of my life, as you see in a moment. It's a truth of everyone in this meeting tonight. You have went astray. You have sinned against God. Whether you're young or whether you're old here tonight, we have all went astray. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's you and I in this meeting tonight. That's every one of us. You see, we're lost by nature. Now, there was a time in my life that I was lost. I was lost. I was born in Uray, this county town. I live in a little home, County Armagh, Northern Ireland, a wee village called Glenann. You probably never heard of that. A family of 10, there were 10 in our family. It was not a Christian home. It was Church of Ireland. We were made to go to Sunday school and things like this for a while. But it was certainly not a Christian home in any shape or form. My dad used to love drinking. And I used to say to Mom, you know, when I grow up, I'm never going to drink. And you know, I meant that. I really meant it to my mum. And when I grow up, I'm never going to drink. Maybe there's young people here tonight say as well, you know, mum and dad, when I grow up, I'm going to be good. I'm never going to go to drugs. I'm never going to drink. Well, I hope you keep to that. That's what I said. Was you hear in a moment or two, it changes. It was not a Christian home, and I was born into this home. There are certain things, of course, as a young lad I loved. And one of the things I loved was soccer. We call it football, of course, soccer. I love football. I used to dream of perhaps of one day I would be a professional footballer. That's what I would love to be. If you had asked me when I was growing up, what do you want to be? Well, I want to be a soccer player. I want to play for Manchester United. Some people have heard. This is probably all dreams that young fella had. But this was what I had. I love football. I played from morning to night. I played for different teams as I grew up. And I'd love to have been a footballer. And I used to play in pipe bands. I'm just showing you what my life was like. Playing pipe bands. I got a job. Later on, I left school. I have to say that I never was a fan of school. And school wasn't a fan of mine either, I'm sure of that. I met a teacher one day. I was away shopping with my wife. I hadn't seen him for years. And I met him and I talked to him. He was surprised. He didn't know who I was because it was years ago since I'd been talking to him. And I asked him, he said, "Who are you?" For I told him a few things about school. And I says, "My name is Noel Shields. Do you remember me?" He says, "I do." So he remembered me after many years and some of the boys in school. But I never really liked school. And this was my life. I just thought, I just want out of school. I want to get a job. And that was really what happened. I just went through my young life very quickly. There was very little religion. We were sent to Sunday school. We belonged to the Church of Ireland. And I can say by going to the Church of Ireland, I never heard that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. I never heard the gospel. I had someone preach it. I never heard them. It never entered into my mind at all or into my heart that I needed Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And so we had to go to the Church of Ireland to, a day comes, I'm sure you heard of confirmation. You know about this in America. In the Anglican Church, you march up to the front and the bishop, he puts his hand upon your head and he confirms you. I don't know what he confirmed me to be, a confirmed sinner, perhaps it was, but it did nothing for me. And then you go down this aisle. Next week you have to go and take communion. And I was back the next week and up taking communion. This was just part of the whole tradition of the church. No salvation in it. Just all religion. And after I take communion that day, I went out of church. I was maybe only 14 years old. And it was goodbye church. Well, I hardly ever went to church. It was goodbye Sunday school. And it was goodbye God. That was me finished. For mom says to me, "When you get confirmed, you can do whatever you like." Well, I said, "That'll suit me." But that was the end of it. That was the end of any church at all that we had. It was very little, of course. Well, I left school, and I was now 16. And when you're 16, suddenly, you think you're a big fella, and you think you know it all. You think you have arrived. You're only a child when you're 16. But, of course, when we were 16, and when you perhaps came 16, you thought you were an adult. But that's not true, of course. But what happened was this. I started to go to the pub. I started to go. And I remember just going one night a week. I used to love playing pool. Talking to somebody today, said they used to love playing pool. I used to love playing pool as well. And I remember going to the pub as a young lad of 16 years old with my friends and family. And we would have drank one pint of beer, a shandy. That was just a pint, a shandy, lemonade and beer. And before long, you know, it was just 2 pints and 3 pints. And then I says, "Well, take the lemonade out." And then it was the spirits, and then there was the vodka. And I remember being so drunk one time, I was only 17, lying in the snow in my local town. I was only 17. I could hardly stand on my feet. And here the father says to mom, "You know, when I grow up, I'm never going to drink. Never going to go to the public houses. But the sin will take you farther. And you want to go." And I was lost. Well, that was the start of my life, just drinking. Because what was there in life? I'd run about playing football for different teams. I played football every Saturday. I played in a pipe band, used to drum in competitions and things like this. Went to discos, went to dances, just the usual rough, sinful, wicked life. And some people here, that was your life as well. That was my life. Never given any thought to God about my soul or anything like this. And I was running around discos and dances and all of these things. But there was one thing wrong with me. Here's what it was. I was unhappy. I said to myself, there's something missing in my life. I don't know what it is. And I used to go through my life and I had an old banger of a car. And I was working, I was playing football. And maybe I had a girlfriend who was running about. And all of us playing the pipe ball. I said, but there's something missing in my life. I don't know what it is. I didn't know that I was lost. That was the problem. I did not know that I was far away from God. I was far away from Christ. That was the problem with me. I didn't know it. And I was searching. I was searching for life. And I couldn't find it. Couldn't find it in the pubs and clubs and discos and all the rest of it that goes along with such a lifestyle. I was lost. And maybe there's some here tonight who says, well, this really speaks to my heart. I have these things in my life. I have maybe homes and a good job and family and cars and money and hobbies and sport. I have many things in my life, but maybe you've really been honest tonight and you say, there still feels in my heart, in my life, there's something missing. Well, I'll tell you what's missing. It's Christ. You're lost. That's a problem. There's a great void that's in people's hearts today. That's why people are running after the world and after possessions and after drink and after drugs. They're lost. They're looking for something in life. See, they're far away from God. I asked, and I didn't know it, of course. I didn't know it this time. I'll be coming to my second point in a moment. I didn't know that I was lost and far away from God. I want to say that to you tonight in this meeting. You're not saved. Your sin has taken you away from God and you're lost. And you're in great danger of losing your soul for all eternity in hell. You're far away from God tonight. This was the position I was once in my life. I was lost. Here's the Lord Jesus looking here at these publicans and sinners, and he's teaching them the lesson through the coin, through the sheep, and through the son, that they were lost. I ask you, before we move on tonight, do you say within your heart, yes, I know. I just feel like this. I know I'm not right with God. I know I've sinned against him. I know I'm lost. Well, the Lord Jesus is teaching us. Not just of you, of course, but of all people across the world tonight, that you're lost in God's sight. Well, I was lost, and I was miserable in my heart. My friends didn't know that, of course. They thought I was the life and soul of the party. It's very easy to pretend that you're happy. Very easy to laugh and joke and joy when you're full of alcohol. But at the end of it all, it was miserable. Very easy to pretend. A lot of people pretending they're happy in life. The old world will never make you happy. I pretended. And that was how I was going through my life. I'd left school, a young lad, 16, into work, doing this and doing that, these jobs. And no trade or anything at this time at all. But that was it. So I was lost and far away from God. Now here's, you find in this parable. Now this is a tremendous parable. The Lord Jesus is telling us what happened to the sheep that was lost. The shepherd went looking for the sheep. He didn't say, well, it's his own fault. It should not have wandered away. It has left the flock. It has left the fold. I have 99 other sheep. Doesn't matter. It's darkness. The day is over. Let it be. That's not the case. Not the case. The shepherd went looking for the sheep that was lost. He went looking for it. He left here. We find in this passage, he left the other 99 and he went out looking for the sheep that was lost. Over the hills, through the valleys, through the mountains, he went searching, he went calling, he went looking for this sheep, this sheep that he loved. He went looking for this sheep that was lost. He came looking for it. And here's what happened to me in my life. I was in the pubs, I can say to you, and I forgot to say it, I was drinking up to 4 or 5 nights a week, a young man. In fact, one night I came home, and my mum met me when I was coming home on the footpath. And I said, "What's wrong, mum?" And I was only about 17. And she says, "Your dad's in hospital." And my dad had taken ill. He went to a public bar, and he took ill. They didn't know it. They thought he was drunk. And they took him to the hospital. And 3 days later, he was dead. He's only 54 years old. That's only a young lad, 17. I never thought about God. I never thought about my soul. In fact, I remember a friend of mine at that particular time, we bought a carry-out of alcohol. We sat in another home and we were drinking. I was far away from God and lost. So I was into the pubs then. I started with one drink, one night a week. So I got a stage we could have been in the bars 4 or 5 nights a week, me and my mates. That was just life. There was nothing in life, you see. There's nothing in life without Christ. And this was our life. We worked, we played football, and we drank. That was it. Played pipe bands and different things. And alcohol was playing a great part in my life, the 4 or 5 nights a week. Even on the Lord's Day, I had been found drinking. And all of these things to my shame. But what happened was this. The Lord came looking for me. Would you believe it? I was a terrible sinner. I cursed like a trooper, very bad language. I drank like a fish. A very wicked, sinful person. And yet here's the wonderful thing. A gospel mission came right to my village, a little village of about 50 houses in my estate, in 1983. And who was holding the gospel mission? The Free Presbyterian Church. Well, I hated the Free Presbyterian Church. I was never in one of their church services. I hated Dr. Paisley. I hated the Free Peas. I would have went stone mad. My sister used to go to the Free Presbyterian Church. And you, her and I used to get together, and I used to visit her home. We used to argue and fight about Paisley. And I used to argue, I knew it all. I knew nothing, of course. Well, here was the Free Presbyterian Church coming to my village to do a mission. And my sister asked me to go. And I must have been a good farmer. I'll maybe go some night. But I can tell you this, more notion than going to the moon. I was going to no mission. I didn't do missions. Or church, or anything like this. But the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. There was someone in that village the Lord wanted to speak to about their sin and soul, and that someone was me. But I didn't know it. Well, I'm not going how God brought me into that mission, but he broke all my plans. All my plans to run away from that mission, they were broken in 1,000 pieces. And all I felt within my heart, and I look back, it was only the Spirit of God. Get you to that meeting. Get you to that mission. So I came home from work, out of the blue. And here's a fellow who didn't do meetings, didn't go to church or anything like this. And I got cleaned up and got myself dressed. And I phoned my mate and I said, "Are you going to go to this mission?" He says, "I'll go with you." So we went into this meeting. And it was all strange to me. And I sat down. And there's a man, did anybody ever hear Joe Peden? Joe Peden's a gospel singer, Northern Ireland. Well, he was actually giving his testimony this night that I was there. Now, I didn't know this, of course. But this man got up to give his testimony. And if you've heard my testimony, you've heard his. As if he was talking to me. He told how he was a young lad and loved football. He told how he used to drink and we call rack about, run about. He told how he had watched his father die. And then he told how the Lord saved him. How he was saved. How he came to Jesus Christ. And you know, something just happened to me. I says, there's the answer. There's what I need. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I need to repent and trust him, you see. And so I went to this meeting. The man gave his testimony and I loved it. You know, I looked around the people and the people, they were so happy. They were singing and I was sitting there and I was miserable. I was miserable in my life. But you know, they gave their appeal and they asked me to come into Christ. I didn't come that night. I was back the next night to the mission. The next night and the next night. I went to nearly every night after that meeting. I loved it. but I wouldn't give myself to Christ. But I learned a lesson in that meeting. You know what it was? That the Lord Jesus loved me. I thought nobody loved me. And that I was a sinner and I was lost. And on my way to hell. I didn't know that. I did not know. I thought, if anything, well, I go to heaven if there is a heaven. That was all lies that I was believing, of course, about myself. But I learned that I was lost, that Christ was looking for me, that he loved me, that he died upon the cross, and that he could save me, he could give me eternal life. But I thought, oh, I'm too young yet. I'll just wait a bit longer. I'll not be able to keep these things. But you know, I never forgot what I heard at that mission. I started to go to an odd gospel meeting with my sister. But I would go to public houses. Now, I fell in 1983. I must remember this part. This is a very important part. Because I fell in with Joan in 1983 as well. So 83 is a good year, really. The Lord spoke to me first. And then I fell in with this girl, Joan, at the beginning of 83 as well. So I started to go with Joan. We started to go together. Of course, it was the way of the world. It was the way of pubs and clubs and drink and all of those things. And so this was our life. I started running about with Joan. But there was times I was in the bar, all known to Joan, and I used to go outside. I used to say to myself, you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ, if he comes back now, I'm lost. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to meet God. Then I used to drive a crane, a mobile crane for a firm, and I said, well, if something falls upon me, or if I touch those electric wires or cables above my head, I'm lost. And what was happening to me was this. The Lord Jesus was speaking to me by his Spirit. He was calling me. Noel, come to me. Come and be saved. Come and trust me. And this was happening in my life. I had no rest within me. I said, I know I'm lost. I need to be saved. And the Lord Jesus was speaking to me. And we were singing there tonight, I heard thy welcome voice that calls me Lord to thee. Maybe the Lord's dealing with some people tonight in this meeting. And he's speaking to your heart and said, listen, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Listen, I will give you rest. That's what I heard. I had no rest. I had no rest in the world. Excuse me. I had no rest in sin. There's no rest when you're following the world and sinning the devil. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was looking for me. He was searching for me. And I was on the great conviction of sin for nearly 2 years. For nearly 2 years. 1984, and Joan and I, we said we're going to get engaged at the end of 1984. And that was going to be a big occasion for us. But John known to Joan that I was under severe conviction of sin. I never let it out that I was, really, in a big way. And I did a job for a fellow one day with a crane. I put a machine into his factory for him. And he was a Christian man. I never met him in my life, of course. And he preached to me the gospel, of course. And I sort of listened to him. He says, you'll be back here again to do another job for me. And I says, okay. So I'm back again, did another job for him. And this day I was leaving him, he started to preach to me about Jesus Christ. About the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he loved me and how he could save me. And you know something? I loved every word he was saying. I loved every word he was saying. He says, Noel, you know, there's something holding you back. I said to my heart, well, there is. Because Joan and I was going to get engaged in a few months just down the line. And the devil says, if you get saved, if you come to Jesus Christ, if you come become a Christian, you're going to lose this girl. You're going to lose her. Well, this man looked at me and he said, Noel, I'm going to ask you the most important question in your life. There was a question that Pilate asked the crowd over in Matthew 27, verse 22. The Pilate looked at the crowd, and here's what Pilate said to the crowd. And David said to me, he said, Noel, I'm going to ask you the most important question in your life. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And he looked at me and he says, Noel, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You're either going to accept them or reject them. This is the most important question in your life. And I can say to you, this, the word of God is quick and powerful. and sharper than any two-edged sword. My heart was smitten. I didn't tell him, of course. My heart was smitten. What was I going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I'm going to accept him as my Savior and repent from my sin or reject him. And I said to everyone here tonight in the meeting, what are you going to do with Jesus, who's called Christ? You're either going to receive him as your Savior or reject him. And if you receive him, you're saved everlasting life. And if you reject him, you're lost. And you're lost for all eternity. And that's a very simple question. But I can tell you this, I couldn't settle. This man said to me, Noel, I'll pray for you. And so I went up the road, and this question was going through my heart and through my mind. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? The Lord Jesus was looking for me. I didn't know it, of course. He was looking for the sheep that was lost. I went to see Joan. I wasn't great talking for him this night. I never said too much to her. And then later on, I did say to her about, I'm thinking about getting saved. But it was only off the cuff. She never really took it on her much under her notice, because those things were never really spoke about between the two of us. So on I went with this question burning in my heart. Well, what am I going to do with Jesus? I need to be saved. I'm not right with God. I'd be lost in hell for all eternity if I die in my sins. Of course, that's the teaching of the Bible. Not just about me. That's the teaching about you unsaved in this meeting tonight. And everybody in the world, if you die without Jesus Christ, you're lost. And lost for all eternity. Well, the Lord Jesus was looking for me. Of course, our plans to get engaged went on ahead. Joe and I got engaged at the end, I think it was December 1984. And that was the start, really. Well, we were engaged to get married. But I was battling with this great conviction about trusting Christ. It's never left me. I went to work, I went to bed, I went to pubs, I went to clubs. It never left me. See, he was looking. He's looking for me. And I said to you tonight, it's not by chance that anybody's in this meeting. It was not by chance that I was in that meeting in Glenan in 1983. Providentially, the Lord brought me in to hear the gospel. It was the message I need to hear. And I trust that is true tonight in this meeting, that the Lord has brought people together to hear words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Words whereby you can. And that you must be saved, you see. Well, the Lord Jesus was looking for me. You find here in this parable that the shepherd looked for the sheep until he found it. You know, he never gave up. The shepherd searched, he searched, he searched, he called, he looked. And the Bible tells us here that he found it. And when he had found it, you know, he lifted it. He lifted the sheep. And here's what he did with it. He laid it on his shoulders. And he carried it home, you see. He brought it home. And I can tell you, on the 19th of January 1985, that's the day of my conversion, he lifted me. He lifted me. And I'll tell you what happened the night before it. Joan and I was in a bar in Markie Till, a little our hometown. Or my hometown, rather. And we were drinking. Sitting up at the bar drinking as usual. This man walked down the bar that I knew from when I was a wee lad. And he looked at me and he says, Noel. And this is what he said to me. In the middle of a bar that was full of people drinking. He says, nobody loves me. And I looked around on him. And I was going to get off that bar stool and said to him, listen, and I'll not mention his name. You're wrong that Jesus loved us. Because I thought that. And that's what this man said to me. But of course I'd be the laughing stock of the public bar if I start to preach at the bar. But I wanted to tell that man that Jesus loved him. I've told him since it, by the way. So I took Joan home. We drank and went up home and left her home. When I got to the whorehouse, there was a friend of mine. He was that drunk. He was hanging over the wall. I got him gathered up and put him into a car. And I was wrong, of course. It was drink driving in those days when we were unsaved. But the Lord was speaking to me. and saying, listen, Noel, if you get saved, you can speak to your friends. But we're lost and going to hell, all my friends. And so I dropped him off at his home, and he went home to bed. And I got to bed, I tossed and I turned in bed. And on the 19th of January 1985, I awoke. And it says, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm giving up. The devil says, remember, if you get saved, you'll never keep it. Because I had a filthy tongue and I used to drink. He says, you'll lose Joan. Joan will not want you if you get saved. And I threw the blankets back and says, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm going to get saved. I went to the window and I opened up the blinds. And outside there had been a great fall of snow the night before. What a fall of snow we had in Northern Ireland that night. But the Lord was directing me to a minister's house up near where Joan lived. I went downstairs. My mom says to me, are you weighing the drink? For you used to get up early on Saturday morning. You had to go for more drink after the night before. Well, I never didn't tell her where I was going. But I jumped in the car and drove through the snow. And a car actually stuck in the drive for the minister's house. The minister who preached the gospel mission 2 years before this, remember. And I knocked his door. And his wife came out and he came out. And I says, could you show me how to be saved? He says, I could. And he brought me in. And he told me after he could smell the alcohol from the night before. And he opened up the Bible and he showed me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that certainly was me. I could not argue with us. It showed me that my sin was going to take me down towards hell for all eternity. The Lord Jesus, he says, died upon the cross for our sins. Do you believe that he died for you? And I says, well, I do. And if you trust him, if you repent from your sin, and, well, he'll give you everlasting life. I says, yes, I believe he will. He says, do you want to trust him? I says, I do. And that day in that room, I turned from my sin and I prayed a simple prayer. I asked the Lord Jesus to save me, to forgive me. And I have never been the same again. I was changed. He asked me, he says, are you saved? I says, yes, I'm saved. And I walked out of that house and that day I could see it was in a new world. I was still the same Noah, but I knew I was a new person. And I drove down the road and I went in home and I said to my mum, I could see it, but I thought it was crazy. She phoned my sister, says, come quickly, something has happened to Noel. So she comes running to the house and all looking at me, says, something crazy has happened to me. I says, well, I've got saved. I got saved. I don't believe you. I says, listen, I've got saved. I've got saved. I met my best friend out on the street and I said, listen, I've got saved. He just looked at me through the window. He says, all the best, I'll give you 1 week. He says, I'll give you a week. He thought about back in the pubs again in 1 week. You know, that's 32 years ago there, about a couple of weeks ago. And the Lord has saved. Well, I still had to face Joan. That was going to be a tough one. And so I phoned Joan, said, I'm going to come up tonight. I want to tell you something. Come on early. She wondered what I was going to tell her, but she didn't expect what I was going to tell her. I said, I got saved this morning. It was a big shock to her. We both thought that was going to be the end of our relationship. But Joan wanted to be getting married to a fellow who's a Christian, who didn't want to go to pubs and clubs. The devil did everything, you know, to break us up. So much so, I thought, I'm sure Joan thought too, that we were going to break up. Some night she got out and she slammed the door of the car. I thought the car door's going to come off and all of this. But nevertheless, I had a decision to make. And I met a fellow who's a friend of mine, and I told him, and he says, I tell him my problem. I said, look, I've got saved, I've got belonged to Jesus Christ, and he's lifted me, and so on. And I says, but my problem's this, I feel I'm going to lose Joan, my girlfriend, my fiance. And he looked at me, he says, well, look, Noel, are you going to change back for Joan? Are you going to go back for her? Are you going to go on? And I looked at him and I said these words, I'm going to go on. And you know, the burden of my heart just rolled away. And I said, if Joan wants me, she's going to have to learn to love me the way I am. But that's the way it is. I had decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. And I looked to see Joan that night, and you know, there's just the cloud of hanging over our relationship just had lifted. The Lord had lifted it. And we went to a mission in March, gospel campaign in Northern Ireland, and Joan heard the gospel the first night of the mission. Joan was there, and Joan came back again and spoke to the ministers, and Joan could see it. Just a few weeks really after myself. And her whole life was transformed, and her whole life was changed in a moment. Some of my family, some of her friends, some of Joan's family have got converted and have come to Jesus Christ. And this was the beginning then of a new life in Jesus Christ. And I say this, when the Lord Jesus saves you, he keeps you. Because here we find the shepherd. He lifted up this sheep and he laid it upon his shoulders. And I think tonight, if the Lord Jesus left me to myself, I couldn't make it home. And you're the same tonight in this meeting. You're not making it home yourself. You need a Savior to bring you home. And the Lord Jesus can save you and give you everlasting life. Joe and I got married. The Lord blessed us. We're married in 86. The Lord has blessed us with 4 children, with 3 grandchildren. And he called me into the ministry. And he could have called somebody with a bit more education. I never learned a big lot in school. But the Lord put his hand upon me to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I went into Bible school, 87, came out in 89. I started a full-time preaching ministry, evangelist, in 1990. And I've been around Northern Ireland, been in Australia, back in Northern Ireland, England, Northern Ireland again, over to Scotland, and I've been away on a few preaching trips like this here over the years. So I've really been a signpost for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he made a great change in my life, and he saved me, and he's kept me to this day. And I want to say this in closing. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. You say, well, I wasn't as wild as that fella. Maybe you say, I've never drank, I've never been drunk, I've never stole, I've never cursed. You need a Savior. There's only one Savior. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, and he shed his blood. He alone can save you and give you everlasting life. And here's the great truth of the Bible. If you come to him, he will save you, and he will give you everlasting life. Maybe you said tonight, well, you know, the things you said tonight have spoken to my heart. I realize I'm lost. I realize I'm far away from God. I realize that Jesus Christ loves me, that he loved me so much that he bled and died upon the cross. Listen, is he calling you tonight to come to him? Come and trust him, and you will find that he saves. There's a great verse in the Bible, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. That's what happened in my life. That's why I'm standing here tonight. I'm only standing here tonight by the grace of God. The Lord Jesus saved me by his mercy and give me everlasting life. And he can do that for you. He can do that for you tonight if you trust him with all of your heart. Remember the parable, lost but found. That's my testimony. My testimony is actually from the pub to the pulpit. And that's really it, from the pub to the pulpit. Well, that's where I spent my time in the bars. But you know, I got saved behind the pulpit and preaching Christ. Well, thank the Lord for what he has done in my life. And I pray what he has done for me, he will certainly do for you if you trust him. If anybody has any questions, do speak to us after the meeting. We're going to sing together a lovely hymn. And I think I've lost the number. Have you got the number, Sharon? 189. I want to sing this together. 189. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. You know, when we never meet again on this side of heaven, but you know, one day when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And I want to see us all there that day when we'll be with Christ for all eternity. I'm going to sing the first and last verse of this great hymn, where the roll is called up yonder. Sing it with all your heart and say, I'll be there. Let's all sing. Verse 1 and 3. Thank you. again for all your support and help over the last 9 weeks. Let's just close for a word of prayer. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of giving a testimony of how I was saved. How the Lord Jesus came to where I was, deep in sin. And how his blood washed me, Lord, even whiter than the snow. I'm glad tonight we're still preaching that gospel. The gospel of saving grace, that there's power even in the blood of the Lord Jesus. I pray for any tonight who may be unconverted, that thou hast spoken to their heart. That the seed of thy word has been planted, Lord, far out of the reach of the wicked one. And Lord, it'll bring forth fruit unto life everlasting. I pray that thy hand of blessing will be upon this congregation. That thou will bless everyone who comes, Lord, into this church. You'll watch over all of us until we meet again, while our Lord is this side of heaven. Or it will be in that day when the roll is called up yonder. Well, I'll be there. I pray now that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will rest, remain, and abide upon each and every one of us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.